This is a recording of an interview with Oscar Matiazzo on the 13th of April 2011 at his home at West Lakes. Also present is Assunta Giovannin, an old friend. Well, Oscar, thank you for being in this interview. I'm going to ask you first about your background. Could you give me your full name, please?
Oscar Matiazzo.
And your place and date of birth?
15th of December 1923. Born in Bigolino, Provincia Treviso, Italy.
Thank you. And your father's name and place and date of birth?
Angelo Matiazzo. Date of birth, I can't remember. It would be in the 1890-something. And he was also born in Bigolino, Treviso.
And what was his occupation?
He was a contadino, gardener.
Yes.
And that's all this.
Yeah. And your mother's name and her details?
My mother's name was Virginia Buffon. And she also was born in Bigolino, Treviso. And yeah, she married my father in, I did know that late, but sometimes after the First World War. And that's it for my mother.
Thank you. And I know that your father first came to Australia. Can you tell me a little about those circumstances?
Yes. Unfortunately, in my father's family, there was five brothers. There were five brothers. And when my father married my mother, she wasn't too well. And in the traditional farming family in Italy, everybody's got to pull their weight, you might say. And because my mother wasn't able to do that, he was asked to leave the family. And therefore, we had to move from the family home of the Matiazzo, and went into two rooms rented in Bigolino there. And my father then borrowed some money to come to Australia. And he came out here in 1927, and of course, there were bad years here. In 1927, there were the big depression on, and work was difficult to find, and therefore money was not easy to save up. First of all, he had to pay for the borrowed money that for his voyage, and then save some money for Mum and I to come out, which we did in 1934. And that's about it.
I'm thinking about your father having to leave the family home.
Yes.
That must have been a difficult situation.
Yes, because, as I said before, especially we call it contadini, that's a farming property. They were quite rich, really, in a way, but they all worked pretty hard. But because my mother could not, as I said before, pull her weight as far as work is concerned, she was completely, she had rheumatic problems, and therefore he was asked to leave. It's hard, but there were hard times. And of course my father, all the years afterwards, that we talked about Italy, and I said, do you want to go back to Italy for a trip? He said, no, I've suffered too much over there. So he never wanted to go back to Italy.
Did he keep in contact with his family?
Only with the sister. He did, yes.
And why did your father come to Adelaide?
He came here because my uncle, Domenico Rossetto, married a Carmela Buffon, which was a sister to my mother. And they had been out several years in Australia. And so when my dad, in fact, it wasn't my dad, it was Rossetto that made the application to bring him out here. And that's why he came to Adelaide.
And did your father tell you about his early experiences of life in Adelaide?
Oh, yes, well, mainly that work was impossible to have. I remember a story that he worked 6 months for a market gardener up in the hills of Adelaide, and after 6 months, the owner said, "I can't pay you," and he gave me his watch as payment. But of course, and I still have it, really, to today. But you know, it just shows you how hard it was for him to save money to bring us, to bring Mum and I out here. And so it gives you an example of how hard those days were. I mean, everybody was in the same boat. Depression, depression, depression. Very hard. Mm.
Do you have memories of your father before he left Italy?
No, I was about nearly 3 years of age when he left, but I don't remember. I don't remember now.
And did your mother continue to live apart from family in that time that you were after your father had gone?
Yes. Oh, yes. We still kept these two rooms that we were able to have, and yes, always apart.
Mm-hmm. And what about your extended families? Do you have memories of grandparents, aunts, uncles?
Yes, I remember my grandparents from my father's side. They were very nice people, actually, especially my grandmother. She always to put an egg in my pocket to take home when I visited them. And of course, it might sound funny, but an egg was like a luxury of those days. And on my mother's side, I can only remember the grandfather, because they were merchants, and he travelled quite a bit, and I always waited for him to come home, and he always had some sweets in his pocket or something. So that was good. Mm. The grandmother on my mother's side had already died by the time that I remember.
Mm. And do you feel that you left anyone behind when, your father must have felt like he was leaving you behind? It must have been a difficult situation for him.
It was difficult, but it was... that he had no choice, really. There was no hope of him getting any work in Italy. But that was a general trend there those days, and it was hard for everybody, and a lot of people migrated. And so he took the punt and came to Australia. Mm.
Mm. Thank you. I'm going to ask you now, just... before we finish that, did any other relatives come to live in Australia after your father and your family, your mother and yourself?
No, not after my father. There was already two brothers of my mother here in Australia when my dad came along and when we arrived. One was always worked in Central Australia, those days we call the Central Australia, now it's Northern Territory. And the other one mainly worked at in Kangaroo Island, in the making eucalyptus oil and things like that. Yes, they were here for many years.
Mm. Thank you. So now I'm going to talk to you about your childhood, Oscar. you told me where you grew up, in the village of
Bigolino.
Bigolino. Can you describe that village? You know, do you have memories of it?
Oh, yes. I guess I remember that being poor as we were, and as I say, I must say that a lot of people were poor there. I remember that when you go to school, because you were poor, you were taken to the sisters, the convent, where they gave you lunch for free, you might say, because, and I remember being taken to, during the holidays, 2 weeks to the seaside by this organisation to take young children that were of poor families, to give them something to look forward to. And I remember that distinctly, yes.
And do you remember what kind of food you ate at home?
I can't remember because we never had much to eat.
How did your mother survive?
She did a lot of sewing. She was very good at that. And although she was crippled in many ways, but she did a lot of sewing and got by that way, but not by money, but by being given, I don't know, some semolina or some eggs or something to eat all the time. Mm.
Her parents wouldn't have provided financial support?
No, it's a strange thing because they were the richest family in the town, merchant, and they felt that my mother married out of caste, you might say, can I call it caste, or she should have married in a better situation than a contadino, you might say. Mm. They looked at those things those days. We don't worry about it now, but those days they looked at these things and they said, well, you should not, you know, serve your right. You went out and did your own thing and now you've been punished for it. But it wasn't all that bad because her brother, who was still alive when we came away, helped her a little bit, but not in money, but just food or maybe some wood for the winter and things like that, just to help along the way.
And do you remember in your family kinds of celebrations that you might have had when you were in the village? Do you remember Christmas?
No, the only time that I remember something is when a friend of my father, who was my son-in-law, and he gave me a cake, a round cake, that you hang around your neck or something. I can't remember what they called it. And I thought that was king. I thought I was a king then that day because that was during. It must have been Easter or some celebration like that. And that's about the only thing that I remember ever getting at any.
And what's a Santo Loro? Like a godfather?
A godfather.
Right, yeah. Was your mother strict with you when you were growing up?
Pardon?
Was your mother strict with you when you were growing up?
Yes. Yes, she told me the rights and wrongs about things and we were pretty close because there's only the two of us and growing up with her as a youngster over there and then coming here, my dad was when we came out, he was also working out of Adelaide, and often I was home with my mother only, and so my mother actually would be the one that brought me up completely, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember friends of your own that you might have made when you were a small boy in Italy?
Yes, I've made two friends there, and We were pretty close with one in my little town, and the other one was in Vallobbiadene, which is a town about 4 kilometres north of Bigolino. And because to go to grade five, in our town we only went up to grade four in our school, so to go to grade five, I had to walk to this other town, Vallobbiadene, and I made a friend there. And we kept writing to each other after I came to Australia. And the friend who was in Bigolino, he also came to Australia in later years, and went to Melbourne, and naturally he became captain of the Juventus soccer club in Melbourne. But by that time I had given my soccer away, so I didn't play against him, but I did see some of the games that he played.
So does that mean that when you were in Italy, you really enjoyed playing soccer?
Well, I don't think we had a ball to play soccer. I don't remember having a soccer ball over there, no. No.
What kind of things would you have done with your friends?
What did they call it? There was a little games that we played, but I don't know what it's called. It's with a stick and had a little pointed, another little stick, and you hit it and it goes up in the air and off it goes, and you try and hit it in the air like that. I can't remember what it's called, but it's the other thing that I did play a little later when I was getting a bit older is the tamburino. Tamburino is around, what would you call it? You know, like Salvation Army got those.
Oh, like tambourines.
Tambourines.
Yeah.
And you hit the ball from one end to the other. In fact, only because probably our little town, although small, they had some good players, the older ones, and they had some good players, and they had a good name around the district. So I guess the young little kids like me wanted to be the same.
So it was a musical instrument, but also you could play?
No, it's not. A tambourine, it was only made the same way with it's a round frame and a skin on top.
Right.
Tight.
Yeah.
And hit the ball like that. It's like, same as tennis, but tennis is done with all strings, and this one is done by just the skin of the...
And did it have a handle?
It had a sort of piece of leather strap around one end, it was round anyway. Yeah. So you put your hand in under the strap and held it all out. And I think they still play a little bit somewhere in Italy of that game, but... Not in our country, not in our team, I don't think. But.
And when you went to school, you told me that you had to go to Vallobbiadene.
That's correct.
And what was the discipline like at school?
Oh, pretty strict. Yes, I don't. Pretty strict. We had to. You know, sort of do our lessons and study. And, I remember. I didn't mind because I love school. In fact, I had to stop home some many weeks one year because of tonsillitis. And it was all swollen. And it was winter and I couldn't walk up to 4 kilometres in the snow. I had to stay home. And I used to cry because I had to stay home. So... I don't know whether that was good or bad, but that's the way it was.
And
but I've always loved school.
What did you like about school?
I don't know. I just like learning. I always have. And, a lot of people couldn't understand why I was crying because I was stopping up from school. I must have been a rather strange kid or something.
And Oscar, we're now going to talk about the time when you and your mother left Italy. Can you remind me how old you were?
I was, when I arrived in Australia, I was 11 years of age.
I think you arrived on your birthday.
That's correct.
Can you remember what happened when the decision was made for you and your mum to come?
Well, the decision wasn't made. It was always on the card, because my dad, when he came out, they said, well, as soon as I can and save money, enough money to bring you out, that you come out. But as I said before, unfortunately, the wrong time with the 1927 with the big depression, it was difficult for him to save the money to us to get out quickly. But when he could, he did. And so we came out.
And do you remember the day that you and your mother left, say from the village or from...
Well, the only thing I remember is that I was having a motor car ride to go to catch a train. I can't remember exactly where we caught the train, but we had to go to Genoa. And to me, you know, it was like something, I don't know, an adventure of some sort. But you know, at that age, at 10, 11, you don't worry too much about anything. Mm. My mother was the one that worried all the time.
Did you feel that you left anyone behind?
No, not really. No. Again, I think the age makes a difference, yes.
Mm. And do you remember much about the trip on the boat?
Yes, I remember getting drunk one day.
How did that happen?
Because I made friends with some other children there. And so after lunch, we went around the table to see if there was any wine in the bottles that was left on the tables. So we finished up again. That didn't go down too well with my mother.
No, I can imagine. What time of year did you travel?
November, December.
Right. So you would have left in cold weather?
Cold weather, yes. And came to good weather. I remember getting off in Perth. A gentleman there took me. He took me to the, or probably the city of Perth. I don't know whatever. Some, and he bought some bananas, and I thought to myself, "Wow, this is."
Had you had bananas before?
I had bananas on the boat, because my mother bought some. And no, I don't think she bought any. It was given to her. Because we didn't, wouldn't have had the money to pay for bananas, I don't think. But then again, the other thing that I remember is an ice cream, which, you know, that was a delicacy, and little things like that.
Mm-hmm.
When you come over, and then
when you were on the boat, I'm just thinking 1934. What were the conditions? Did you have a cabin with your mother?
Yeah, there were six of us in the cabin.
Did you know the other people?
No. No, it's quite... I remember there were six people, but of course, as a child, you don't take much notice of, you know, whatever. So you slept and ate and drank. Not drank. I'm only saying because of that episode, but they were once off, a not once off situation.
So it would have been quite an interesting time for you.
Oh, yes, yes. Everything was something new. I remember looking over the rail of the boat and being told off by the sailors there, or whoever's in charge, because we could fall over naturally. But we were looking at the birds, these flying, you know, flying birds in front of the, they get in front of the boat and they fly with the, with the speed of the boat like that. We want to see them fly and get into strife like that. But
how was the boat powered?
Oh.
Would it be steam?
Yes. Motonave, that would be, I imagine be oil, yes. Oh. Yes.
And do you remember the name of the boat?
Yeah, Viminale. That was the name of the boat, yes.
And were there many Italians on board?
Oh, I think most of them were Italians. But I wouldn't know how many, I didn't. There was a lot of people.
And did you arrive in Adelaide?
No, we arrived in Melbourne.
And what happened when you arrived, apart from it being your birthday?
Well, as soon as we went through customs, they put us on the train and we arrived in Adelaide the next day.
Just you and your mother?
Oh, there was other people that were coming to Adelaide. But yes, we arrived in the next day.
And was your father there to meet you?
Yes, he was. Mm.
And you didn't, you told me you didn't really have a memory of your father.
I don't know whether I recognised him or not, but I probably did. I'm not sure, but I probably have by seeing photographs and things like that.
Mm.
I imagine my mother would have teed me up about it.
Yeah. And what happened when you arrived? You met your father and then what?
We were here for in Adelaide. We went to stay at my auntie Rossetto in Hindley Street. They had a grocery store, but they also had rooms, spare rooms, and we stayed here 2 weeks in Adelaide. Then my dad had work in Narracourt to go to, so the three of us went down to Narracourt and lived there for 1 year.
And what work was your father doing?
He was
doing?
Clearing scrub clearing like that.
And was that for a private farmer or?
For the clearing land, as you see even today, if you drive down that way, it's been a lot of clearing in the past. In fact, it's been said that they clear too much and more or less not ruined the land, but they could have done less of that. And he used to go away on Monday, and they used to camp out in a tent in this scrub, and go out Monday and come back Friday night, and that's it.
And where did you live in Narracourt?
We had two rooms in a house. The only other Italian person that was there was a vegetable gardener there. And he supplied a lot of veggies to the Narracourt community. And we lived in two rooms, in the back rooms of this particular house. And yes, and so, but we were home on our own. I used to go to school then, of course.
And I was thinking, what about learning English? Like, because did you have any English at this time?
No. I had no English. They sent me to school at the Narracourt Catholic School, just pick up as you go along. There was no one really there to do much or teach much, but. I remember one incident that because I couldn't talk and children running around, and I was sitting there on the bench at lunchtime, and the sister came out with a ball of wool and two needles, knitting needles, and she showed me how to knit, so to occupy my time during recess time. And by that time then all the children were around me laughing like mad, and I was a bit embarrassed in that way. So the next day she came out again And so I put the I got the needles and the wool and put it in the rubbish tin. And then when they call you up for to march into school, she asked me, she made me understand, to, where's the wool, etc. So I grabbed her hand and I took her to the rubbish tin and I opened the lid and I said, there it is. She never gave me the wool anymore. But I used to get into a lot of fights those days, fights, you know, between children, because they used to call me Abyssinia all the time. Because if you remember in 1935, there'd be the Abyssinian War was on, and so I was being called Abyssinia. So I didn't like that very much, so I used to just put my head down and just fly out.
And were you a strong young boy?
Not particularly, no. I used to come home with blood. We used to wear blouses, though, fuck if I remember, a white blouse and shorts or trousers. But I used to get to go home with blood all over my... My mother wasn't very happy about that.
No.
But, you know, eventually I made good friends with all of them. And in fact, two of them, although we don't see each other now, but if we do see each other, we're still as if old friends as we've always been.
Boys from Narracourt?
Boys from Narracourt, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you spent a year there and... What happened then?
And then Dad came to Adelaide because he was offered to go to Central Australia to work on the mica mines and wolfram mines. And so we came back to Adelaide and we stayed here a year in Adelaide.
So your father went off to the
mines.
How would he have got that job?
I don't know, through other connections of friends or
Italians.
Always Italian connections, yes. But of course, again, there he was unlucky. Didn't find much. It wasn't very lucky at all. So I remember that Mum and I had to go to I don't know what they call it. It'd be like Centrelink now for help. They used to give you certificates for bread or groceries or kerosene for the stove, meat. All certificate, no money, but all these little certificates that you go to different avenues to purchase that with these certificates. So I had to stop home from school on the day that we had to line up for this, and it would take hours to be started at one end, and by the time you get to the other end, it would be about 3 or 4 hours afterwards because there were so many people asking for help.
Was that in the city of Adelaide?
Yep. Yes, in the city of Adelaide.
And were you living back on Hindley Street at that time?
Yeah, always lived in Hindley Street, yeah. I can't remember, I recall we had two rooms in different places. we changed the places if it was, in those days, naturally sixpence or threepence or whatever. If you could find a room that is 6 months cheaper than the other, you would change because 6 months was 6 months those days.
Mm. Were those rooms furnished?
No.
So
no,
you had
we hardly had any. I mean, I remember just having a bed and a little table. That's all. And Mum had a cupboard, wardrobe. You might say not very good, but. That kept my clothes as well in there. No, very, very sparse, yeah.
And was it shared kitchen?
No. It was a kitchen come laundry and washing because we couldn't afford electricity, so we only had candles and kerosene primus, that little primus stove, and that's why you got kerosene from the government to buy kerosene for the primus stove. So we never had electricity as such, and so that's how we used to also.
I'm thinking of your mother and thinking she came from very poor circumstances in Italy, probably hoping that things might be better.
Yeah, didn't turn out that way for her, unfortunately. She never complained. She was not one to complain about things, but she was always in pain anyway. She was very difficult.
And how did she manage her illness? Did she see a doctor in Adelaide or get medical help?
Well, those days you didn't have the medical help that you got today. The little money that Dad sometimes sent was for doctor or medication. Adelaide Hospital helped a lot, but not enough really to... In later years, my mother was, my father went, so I'm jumping a little bit here, but in later years, say 3 years after, after Adelaide, we went to New Ryukta for 2 years.
Right.
And when we come back from Narra Court, I went to school here and they put me in grade 5. So that's where I started schooling, really. The first year in Narra Court was only to learn the language and general things. And then when I went to New Ryukta, I was in grade 6 and grade 7. And because my father was working in the brickyard up there, and he had worked for 2 years there, which was good.
And what was it like at Nuriutpa at that time? Because we're talking about
1937, 38. It was a very typical German town, really. Certainly a lot more German than now, and they were quite vocal, I thought. But I didn't take any notice of those things, and in fact, when the war broke out, this is in 1939, they all had to give up their guns and whatever had pistols or whatever, and instead of giving up the guns to the authorities, they got two coffins and they put them in the coffins and marched down the street and buried them in the cemetery.
Wow.
So, and another one coming into Lindock, there was a shed, the wall of a shed that when you're driving down, it hits you straight on, like that. And always there they had some signs on there. But when the war broke out, they painted three big suns, the sun that shines, 1, 2, 3. And on it they put, "The sun will shine again." All typical of the way they felt up that way at that time. I think they're quite different now. Mm. We all are, so, but they were very strong German. That influence there. Mm.
And when you were at school, did you continue to enjoy learning there?
Oh, yes.
Was German taught?
I had the opportunity to learn German, but then, I don't know, somehow or other, I went off the track a little bit there. Again, we had two rooms there in a house, and the German people that were tenants there, he was willing to teach me, but he was only available only one day a week because his job was to come down to Adelaide for whatever. He was a chiropractor or something, but didn't sort of fit in sometimes with my, because I used to go in my spare time. I used to go and work and clean motor cars and and cut lawns and things like that for to get a few little shillings. And yeah, that's took a little bit away from my spare time.
And what? So you lived in Nuriutpa, and was that like the centre of the Barossa, you know, the main town at that time?
Well, I suppose it's difficult to put Barossa, Nuriutpa as a centre, because Tananda, there's Nuriutpa, there's Angaston, there's a couple of other little towns there that makes a complete Barossa. So it was fairly important. But because my dad, he never drank. He couldn't afford to. He used to go then to the pub on Saturday and have two glasses of beer. But I used to go, I had to push the bike from Nuriutpa to Tananda with a 2-gallon jar in a sugar bag hanging on my back to go and get these 2 gallons of wine from a winery in Tananda, which is about 5-6 kilometres away, because it was 6 cents cheaper than in Nuriutpa, you see. So anyway, that's part of that was it.
And in Nuriutpa, the housing situation, how did that compare with the previous year without electricity and...
No, we had electricity there, fortunately, but then we couldn't afford very much of it, so we had a wooden stove, and Dad used to get some wood in, and I used to help him. Because, I mean, apart from all that, even while I was in Adelaide and Europe, I had to do all the washing, the clothes for the family, because my mother couldn't touch water. She was completely... crippled that way, and I used to remember that on a certain day the boys used to walk through the footpath there and call me the woman because I was washing the clothes.
And you were washing by hand?
Yes, oh yes, yeah.
So you probably grew up taking on quite a lot of responsibility in the house?
Oh, I don't know about responsibility. I just did what my mother used to tell me to do, and that's it.
Mm. Was your mother able to cook?
She was able to cook, yes.
Mm. And how would she have spent her time, say, you know, in Nuriutpa and also when you're in Nara Court?
If sewing was her main... occupation, if she could make a little bit of money that way, but she suffered a lot, and in fact I still believe to today that the medication given to her for arthritis and all the pains that she had, eventually she got leukemia, mm-hmm. and that was more or less the end of her life in a way, because when we left, Nuriutpa to come back to Adelaide because of my mother's problems, and she needed a lot of changing of the blood, changing white corpuscles, eat the red and all that, or whichever way it goes, and so she was quite often in the Royal Adelaide Hospital for weeks to change her blood over and back again. And so my father came back to Adelaide and went to work for a doctor at Beaumont, at Dr. Tish at Beaumont. And we lived in his property at a big house, in a little outer house, which one bedroom, one kitchen and a bathroom. And I used to live under the main house in the cellar, used to sleep under the main in the cellar. and so that was how we set up, so that my mother could get the benefit of having the doctor at home, more or less, and he was in charge of the pathologist department in the Royal Adelaide Hospital. And so I think by his Oh, he was really attached to Mum to help her or help all of us. And Dad was the gardener for him there as well. So it all worked in very well, but at the end, Mum, I called him one morning. I said, Mum's not too good. And he said, you better not.
So we'll just resume the interview.
Yeah, he said not to go to work today because Mum had to be taken to hospital.
Mm. And Oscar, how old were you?
17.
17.
17 and a half.
At
the time.
Hard time for your family.
Yes, it was because that's... well, we had a, you know... I mean, we're not the only one. There were so many families that had stories like this in many ways. I can only recount my family and see what happened there. But and then, of course, soon after that, they come around and pick me up and put me in the Allied Works Council. That's when I started a new phase.
So if we just go back to your school life here in Adelaide, when did you leave school? How old were you?
Oh, right. I was grade 5 in Adelaide, which was 1936. In 1937 and 38, we were in Nuriupta. And there I was in grade 6 and grade 7. And by the way, I'll have to... seeing my trumpet here, but I was top of the class each year, so I better.
Wow, Oscar, that is amazing. Given the fact that you had arrived only in 1934, your ability to learn English must have been fantastic.
Yeah, but it was okay. So I became a ducks of the school, as they say.
That's fantastic. And also one other thing in Nuriupta, you were part of the pipe band, I think.
Oh, yes. I was part of the pipe band and we played football and cricket and anything with sport was quite... I was happy. Yeah.
I remember... go on.
Only I didn't have shoes, boots to play football, and a friend of mine... who I think is still alive up in Nuriupta. I saw him last year, and he bought me a pair of shoes and put it on his family account at the store. Because I didn't have shoes to play football, and a pair of swimming trunks.
So you were kitted out.
Yeah, so I was fitted out by this fellow one day. But then they were a family pretty well off, and I guess they wouldn't have.
He probably thought, if Oscar gets a pair of boots, he'll be great with our team and we need him. Oscar, I remember you telling me a story about writing to the Italian consul about your interest in sport.
Oh, yes, that was in the first year of Australia in 1935. I was always interested in sport in Italy. As children, we barracked for different heroes over in Italy, and my hero was Binda, Guerra, and what was the other one there? I'll think in a minute. And so when I came to Australia, I didn't get any news about all the sporting activity, whether it was soccer or whether it was cycling, and which was the two main ones for me. And so I wrote from Narracourt, I wrote a letter to the Italian consulate in Adelaide and asked if they had any sporting papers, if they could send me some sporting papers from that related to the Italian sporting place. I didn't receive a reply, so I wrote the second letter. Again, I didn't get a reply. But strange enough, in, let me see, we are in 2011, I think about 2006, I went to the archives here in Adelaide, in Angus Street, I think it is, and there, lo and behold, are my two letters in the original form, in the paper that there's my letters that I had written to the consulate for these papers, the first letter and the second letter, for which I have a copy here, a photocopy I got. And, you know, it's strange. And I think, when I think back all these things, is that because I had written these letters asking for something to do with Italy, and they saw fit to put it in their archives, whatever they call it, because they're keeping a tab on every migrant that comes out. They got what they do, what they don't do, what they do, all that type of thing. And this is why the reason that time, when the war broke out with Italy, they come to pick me up to put me in internment camp. But because I wasn't 18, I wasn't taken at that time. And I believe that those two letters were the reason why, because I can't remember other than joining, you know, we started a soccer club, an Italian soccer club before the war, and we only played a few games before the war started with Italy, and we had to abandon the club, and we resumed it after the war in 1946 and called it Juventus. The first club was called Savoia. And now, I think apart from those two little items, another item is that when I arrived from Italy as an 11-year-old, I had the uniform of a balilla, which is like a Boy Scout here in Australia. But over there, balilla was the first step to become a fascist type of thing. Not that you become a fascist, but that's the schooling you go. So I had the latest type of uniform. And we used to go to, Saturday morning, we used to go to Italian school. In 1936, we'd go to the Italian school near the Cathedral of today, St. Francis Xavier. There's a hall next to that. They used to have these lessons, Italian lessons for Italian children to keep up the Italian language. And there also they had about half a dozen or more of girls and boys dressed up in these uniforms, because they also came from Italy with their uniform. But because I was the latest one arrived, I had the latest model. So they put this big photo in the paper, in the Smith Weekly, which is a you might call it a rather scandalous paper, you know. That's all they do, scandals and things like that. And so they, I mean, from those two points, first the letters to the council, then this other business about the uniform, etc. And I believe that those two things put me in a situation where I'd be classed as a dangerous person to Australia because of the of those two points. But as I said before, they came to pick me up, but I wasn't 18, so they can't put you in internment camp until you're 18. But as soon as I turned 18, of course, they picked me up and put me in the Allied Works Council.
I think that's a good point to end our first part of the interview. So thank you, Oscar.
That's all right.